Welcome to today's deep dive. We're exploring this YouTube video by Alan Rufus.
Okay.
And the title of this video is Free Personal Development Audiobook, The Master's Sacred Knowledge, Master Key System Inner Treasure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
But the content is fascinating. The whole video is framed as this dialogue between a young man who's really down on his luck, thinking about suicide even. And then he encounters this wise sage who starts giving him guidance in the form of these metaphorical keys.
It is a unique approach. Using that dialogue format, it's like we're right there with them as the sage unveils these principles for unlocking potential.
Definitely pulls you in.
Yeah.
And you want to know, is this young man going to find hope?
Right.
But you also start to think, wait a minute, do I have a master key too? So what is this master key?
Well, it's not a literal key, of course. Think of it more as a system.
Mm.
A set of principles and perspectives that can help you discover the potential that already exists within you.
So it's not about gaining something new.
It's not about gaining something new. It's about tapping into what you already possess.
I like that. Reminds me of that saying, you already have everything you need.
Yeah.
But how do we actually access this potential? What are some of the steps involved?
Well, one of the first things the sage talks about is this idea of inner alchemy.
Okay.
Sounds a bit mystical. But it's about transforming your thoughts, shifting from negative patterns to more positive ones.
So less about turning lead into gold, more about turning self-doubt into self-confidence.
Exactly. The sage uses the phrase transmuting base thoughts into golden vibrations.
I like that. It's about recognizing those negative thought loops we all have and consciously choosing to replace them with more empowering ones. Okay, so how do we do that? Because let's be honest, sometimes those negative thoughts, they can feel pretty overwhelming.
The sage stresses the importance of being present, living fully in the now. This aligns with the concept of mindfulness, which has been shown to have real benefits for well-being.
Yeah, it's about focusing your attention on the present moment rather than dwelling on the past or worrying about the future. Okay, I can see how that could be helpful. It's easy to get caught up in regrets or anxieties, but how does being present actually help us shift those negative thoughts?
Think of it like this. When you're truly present, you're not giving those negative thoughts the energy they need to thrive. You're choosing to focus on what's happening right now, on what you can control.
So instead of getting swept away by that current of negativity, you're planting your feet firmly on the ground of the present moment.
Exactly. And from that grounded place, you can start to choose more empowering thoughts.
Okay.
The sage also uses this beautiful image of a tree shedding its leaves to explain how we can let go of what no longer serves us.
That's a great visual. What kind of things might we need to shed?
It could be anything that's weighing you down. Negative thoughts, limiting beliefs, even relationships that are no longer healthy. Just as a tree sheds its leaves to prepare for new growth, we too can let go of what's holding us back to make space for something better.
So it's not just about adding positive things. It's also about clearing out the negativity to make room for them to flourish.
Precisely. And then the sage talks about the power of visualization. He encourages the young man to visualize a positive future, to see himself succeeding.
I've heard about this with athletes visualizing their performance before a big game. But how can visualization actually change things?
Think about it this way. Your thoughts create your reality. When you visualize a positive outcome, you're essentially planting the seeds for it to manifest. You're focusing your energy on what you want rather than what you don't want.
So it's not just wishful thinking. It's a way to actively shape our future by aligning our thoughts with our desires.
Exactly. And the sage gives specific examples, like picturing a successful day ahead of time.
Oh. Or even sending love and light to a crying baby.
Mm-hmm.
He's demonstrating how we can use visualization in everyday life to create a more positive experience. That's interesting. I hadn't thought about using visualization in those everyday moments. It's almost like training your mind to focus on the positive.
Yes. And this ties into another key principle, inner strength. The sage reminds the young man and us that we already have everything we need to overcome challenges. It's about tapping into that inner reservoir of strength and resilience we all possess.
That's empowering. It makes me think about times in my own life when I thought I couldn't handle something, but I found that strength within myself.
We all have those moments. The key is to remember that that strength is always there, waiting to be accessed. The sage emphasizes that you are not a victim of your circumstances. You have the power to choose how you respond to them.
It's like taking ownership of your life, becoming the author of your own story, But sometimes it feels like life throws some pretty tough curveballs. How do we find that strength when we're really struggling?
Well, the sage uses a series of creative metaphors to explain this.
Okay, he compares life to a chess game.
Yeah.
A sandwich. An iceberg. A computer rebooting. So many metaphors.
It's amazing how he weaves these everyday images into profound lessons.
How do we even begin to unpack all of that?
Let's start with the chess game metaphor. Think about your own life as a game of chess. What are your long-term goals?
Okay. What moves can you make today to set yourself up for success?
Okay.
So it's not just about reacting to what life throws at us. It's about thinking strategically and making choices that align with our goals. But what about when things feel totally out of control?
That's where the iceberg metaphor comes in. Imagine yourself as an iceberg. What lies beneath the surface? What hidden strengths or limiting beliefs are shaping your actions?
It's like there's this whole hidden part of ourselves, this vast potential that we may not even be aware of.
Exactly. And sometimes we need to do some inner work to uncover those hidden strengths and address those limiting beliefs. Just like the iceberg, it's that hidden depth that gives us stability and allows us to navigate the rough water.
So we're working on those inner foundations, understanding our iceberg selves. But the sage doesn't stop there. He gets into some pretty deep stuff with this idea of the ego.
Right. He doesn't shy away from the more challenging aspects of personal growth. He explains the ego as this separate entity almost that can actually get in the way of our spiritual development.
Yeah, I can see that. The ego can be pretty loud, always wanting attention and validation. But how do we separate ourselves from that ego-driven voice?
It starts with self-awareness. Recognizing those ego-driven thoughts and behaviors.
Okay. When you can step back and observe your thoughts without judgment, you start to create some distance between you and the ego. So it's like becoming an observer of our own minds.
Exactly. The sage encourages the young man to become what he calls a giant observer, someone who can see life from a broader perspective with a sense of detachment and even humor.
That sounds like a helpful skill to cultivate, especially when things get chaotic. It reminds me of the saying, don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah.
But how do we actually become these giant observers? Is it something we can practice?
Absolutely. Mindfulness meditation is a great way to cultivate this kind of detached observation. It's about simply noticing your thoughts and feelings without getting carried away by them.
So it's a way to create some space between us and our reactions, to choose how we respond rather than just reacting automatically.
Right. And this connects to the sage's teaching on embracing change.
Okay. He sees challenges not as obstacles, but as opportunities for growth. I can see how that mindset shift could be powerful. But when you're in the middle of a difficult situation, it's hard to see it as an opportunity.
It is, but the sage reminds us that life is constantly changing and our ability to adapt is essential to our well-being. He even uses the metaphor of a roller coaster to describe life.
Okay, I'm picturing those unexpected drops and sudden twists and turns. How does that relate to adaptability?
He points out that life inevitably has its ups and downs, and we have the power to choose how we ride those twists and turns. We can either scream and hold on for dear life, or we can embrace the thrill, knowing that it's all part of the journey.
So it's about finding that inner strength to stay centered, even when things get bumpy.
Exactly, and it's important to note that the sage isn't advocating for toxic positivity. He acknowledges the reality of challenges and setbacks, but he encourages us to face those difficulties with courage and resilience.
It's about finding that balance between acknowledging the hard stuff and still choosing to focus on the good. But sometimes it feels like the bad outweighs the good. How do we shift that balance?
One way is through conscious decision making. Remember the sandwich metaphor. We get to choose the ingredients that fill our lives.
Right. We can choose to focus on things that nourish us. Or we can fill our lives with things that leave us feeling empty and unsatisfied.
Exactly. And the sage encourages us to become master chefs in the kitchen of our lives, experimenting with different flavors and spices until we create a dish that truly delights us.
I love that. It makes me think about my daily routine. Am I choosing activities and interactions that truly nourish me? Or am I just going through the motions?
That's a great question to ask yourself. And this ties into the sage's teaching on the weather map of our internal state.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this weather map.
He uses this metaphor to explain how our internal state creates our external reality. Just like low pressure on a weather map creates storms and turbulent conditions, negative thoughts and emotions can create chaos and disharmony in our lives.
So if we're constantly feeling stressed and overwhelmed, it's like we're living in a perpetual storm.
Exactly. But the good news is that we have the power to change the weather. By consciously choosing to focus on love, joy, and gratitude, we can shift our energy to a higher frequency and create more peaceful and harmonious conditions.
So it's about cultivating those high-pressure systems within ourselves, creating a climate of positivity and peace.
Precisely. And the sage even provides a specific visualization technique for raising your vibration. He has the young man imagine himself as a pillar of light, filling himself up with radiant energy.
That's a powerful image. I can almost feel that light radiating outward.
It is. And it speaks to the importance of inner work. By cultivating inner peace and positivity, we create a ripple effect that extends outward into the world.
So we're not just benefiting ourselves.
Yeah.
We're also contributing to a more positive collective energy.
Exactly. And the sage reminds us that even when we're doing our best to cultivate positivity, life still has its ups and downs.
Right. It's not about being happy all the time.
Yeah.
Life is full of challenges.
Exactly. And to illustrate this, he uses the metaphor of the wheel effect. He explains that just like a wheel, life is constantly turning and things naturally ebb and flow.
So even when we're feeling down,
yeah,
it's important to remember that those feelings are temporary.
Right. He encourages us to find that center point, that axis of balance within ourselves, where we can ride the waves of life with more equanimity.
It's like finding that stillness.
Yeah.
Amidst the constant motion.
Exactly. And this connects to the importance of understanding the cycles of life. The sage explains that just like nature goes through seasons, we too experience periods of growth, dormancy release, and renewal.
That makes sense. We all go through periods of feeling stuck or lost, but those periods are often followed by breakthroughs and new beginnings.
Right. And the sage emphasizes that by aligning ourselves with these natural cycles, we can find greater harmony and balance in our lives. It's about surrendering to the flow, trusting that even in the midst of winter, spring will inevitably arrive.
It's a beautiful reminder that even in the darkest of times, there's always hope for renewal. There's so much to unpack with this master key concept.
There is.
It's not just about positive thinking. It's about this deeper understanding,
yeah,
of ourselves as these complex, multifaceted beings.
It is. And the sage doesn't just present these concepts in the abstract. He gives the young man practical tools and techniques he can use to apply these principles in his life.
Right. Like that visualization of being a pillar of light, something anyone can do anywhere, anytime.
Exactly. And it ties into the sage's emphasis on recognizing our own inner light, that spark of divinity that resides within each of us. He encourages the young man to find the switch and turn on the light, to step out of the shadows and into his own radiant power.
It's a beautiful metaphor for self-discovery and spiritual awakening. But it makes me wonder, what about those times when we feel like we've lost our way, when our light feels dim?
That's where the concept of the sunrise and sunset of each day comes in. The sage suggests that we start each day with gratitude, acknowledging the gift of a new beginning.
It's like hitting the reset button, reminding ourselves that each day is a fresh start.
Exactly. And then at the end of the day, we reflect on our experiences and release anything that no longer serves us. It's a powerful practice for cultivating mindfulness and letting go of negativity.
So it's about creating a daily ritual of setting intentions and letting go.
Right. And he even suggests visualizing the day ahead of time, seeing yourself navigating challenges with grace and ease, achieving your goals.
That's interesting. It's almost like pre-paving the path for success.
Exactly. It's about taking control of your energy and shaping your reality through conscious thought. And if we imagine life as a journey, the sage suggests that we're all climbing the stairway to higher consciousness.
Okay, that's a great visual. What does he say about this stairway?
He explains that each step on this journey requires effort and dedication, but the view from the top is worth it. It's about reaching that peak of self-awareness and spiritual enlightenment.
It makes me think of that saying, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
Mm-hmm.
But what about when we stumble on those steps? How do we keep moving forward when we encounter setbacks?
Well, remember the sage's emphasis on the elastic self. Our ability to adapt and flow with life's challenges is crucial to our well-being. He encourages us to cultivate a sense of flexibility and resilience, to be like a relaxed rubber band that can stretch and bend without breaking.
It's a good reminder that setbacks are a natural part of life. It's not about avoiding them altogether. It's about learning to bounce back from them.
Right. And this connects to one of the most profound teachings in the entire video, the art of dying.
It might seem like a strange topic for a personal development video, but I'm curious to hear how the sage approaches this.
He explains that by embracing death as a natural part of life, we can actually live more fully in the present.
I can see that. If we're constantly fearing death, it can prevent us from truly embracing life.
Exactly. He encourages us to shift our perspective on death, to see it not as an ending, but as a transition, a natural part of the cycle of life.
It's about letting go of the fear of death, so we can embrace the preciousness of life.
And that leads us back to the beginning, to the concept of the master key. It's not a magical solution to all of life's problems, but it is a powerful set of principles and perspectives that can help us navigate those challenges with greater wisdom, resilience, and joy.
It's like a toolbox for the soul. Mm-hmm. We may not need every tool all the time, but it's comforting to know we have them available when we need them.
I love that analogy, and it ties back to the sage's closing thought to the young man, that he's already a winner. It's a powerful reminder that we all have this inherent winning potential within us.
So the question for all of us now is, how can we tap into that potential more fully in our own lives? What keys will we use to unlock our own unique paths to fulfillment?
I think that's a great question to ponder as we continue our own journeys of self-discovery and growth.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Alan Rufus's wisdom. We hope you found it as insightful and inspiring as we did.
And remember, you are a winner. Now go out there and create the life of your dreams, the good